Welcome to this sort of campfire edition of The Civic Flame. For those of you new here, The Civic Flame is a podcast where we take a deep dive into the U.S. Constitution and how our government is and is not working in line with it today. Campfires are shorter episodes about major issues that come up, and this is only a semi-campfire because we're launching another series of this podcast that I'm calling Mother of Democracy. This will be a combination of my work with Birthzilla's The Podcast and The Civic Flame, where we center women, gender-based violence, and misogyny as massive threats to democratic regimes. Content warning for some of you. This episode is going to talk about sexual assault, cults, and similar types of violence. A lot of our episodes are. And while it is important stuff to talk about, for those of you who might have PTSD or other harmful reactions to this content, please exercise self-care. It's like I tell my students, education brings out areas of conflict that can make us uncomfortable, but they should not be areas that cause us harm. So take good care, even if that means turning off this podcast and listening to something else. For those of you who are sticking around, grab your stress blankie and let's go. Like many people, I've started to hear news about the Rape Academy online. This happened as I was watching the new Netflix documentary, Trust Me, The False Prophet, and listening to the podcast, Digging Up the Duggars. And I realized a couple of things. A, men really hate women. B, a lot of men don't know they hate women. C, a lot of women don't know they hate women, including themselves. And D, this hatred is corrosive, not only to individuals and society, but it is incompatible with democracy. So we're going to unpack some of this. First and foremost, we're still living in the era of the Epstein class. There are, we literally don't know how many, financial, political, educational, business, and other leaders around the world who have been part of a group that tortures, rapes, and allegedly cannibalizes and murders children. So far, few countries have moved to prosecute any of these individuals, and the U.S. government continues to hinder the release of the entire Epstein files, which do implicate the President of the United States, in what the FBI calls credible allegations. So I feel like we have a few options here. Option one, God can give me superpowers, and I can clean up this mess in a few weeks. Option two, governments around the world can grant mothers criminal immunity, and we can clean this mess up in a few days. Or option three, global revolution in ideas and values that respect children, change the system, and end misogyny. It's crazy that options one and two seem the most likely today, because we're at option four, do nothing and throw our hands up in the air because we're all out of ideas. Then there are stories like Gisèle Pelicot, who was raped by at least 51 men. Her case brought international attention to the problem in French law with consent. But they also revealed the number of ordinary men who would rape an unconscious woman and the even higher number of men who would not tell anyone anything was happening, even if they themselves did not take part in the rape and assault. If you remember her story, it sounds exactly like the Rape Academy story that is breaking now. Pelicot's husband, who shall not be named because he doesn't deserve it, drugged her, raped her, advertised her, and both allowed and filmed other men to rape her over decades. These men were people who looked like ordinary men, normal guys who probably didn't have hooves and tails, and they were rapists. Of course, men who have guts don't rape women, so these gutless men did what gutless men do, and they said, nuh-uh, not me, and pretended they didn't know she was drugged or they thought she consented. The literal embodiment of the phrase, no honor among thieves. If only this were a one-off case that we would never hear about again. But in Epstein world, of course we did. Among Epstein's clients, it's the most powerful people in the world who are preying on the most vulnerable, mostly because we won't give criminal immunity to mothers or superpowers to me. And I know some dads I'd let in on the cleanup crew too. But right after the Pelicot case, a social media channel was discovered where men were teaching each other how to do what Pelicot's husband did, how to drug and rape their wives and girlfriends, sell those wives and girlfriends, or sell and share images of them being raped. Hundreds of men were in on this. If you were horrified about this, congrats, you're human. If you want to help me start setting lots of things on fire, I'm with you. If you're shocked by this, you need to go get with the program because this was only too obvious. And that's how we end up with this story, breaking this week, about the Rape Academy. Reporters with CNN went undercover, posing as members of the club. Through this, they found thousands of men who are part of this Rape Academy. They teach each other how to dose their wives over time so the wives don't notice or don't get to tell that anything bad is happening, and importantly, they don't die because then police ask questions. Men ask questions like, how much do I drug her, and always wanted to do this to the missus. One man admitted slipping the drugs into his wife's milkshake. Abuse videos were shared for bragging rights and for profit. One man asked, how much are you willing to pay to fuck my wife while she sleeps? On just one porn site, there were over 20,000 videos of men raping their sleeping wives, according to CNN. These users hide themselves through cryptocurrency and online identities. But what they do is very real. And what we need are malicious female hacker teams to expose them, possibly to the elements or hungry jaws of 9 million fire ants, but certainly to the law and to the communities that they live in. But here's the thing. This is the world. I was disgusted and horrified by this story, but earlier in the week, I heard about the Brazilian group that was training men how to beat up, stab, shoot, and kill women who said no. The news learned about this because one of the women was shot and murdered. The same week, I heard about a young woman who was allegedly sexually assaulted and murdered on a cruise ship by her stepbrother. She had told her parents she didn't like the stepbrother, and he was obsessed with her in a creepy way. The parents decided to force her to share a cruise ship with him anyway, where he allegedly raped and murdered her. I also watched the documentary False Prophet on Netflix about a member of the FDLS who convinced men that he was the prophet. And these men gave up their wives for him to rape, their adult daughters for him to rape, and eventually their underage children for him to rape because they've been taught obedience. What's the point of all this? There are so many men who think they're good men because they don't rape us and murder us. But they don't hold rapists accountable. That's why you have things like, every woman knows someone who's been raped, but no man seems to know a rapist. These men listen to the locker room talk, and they think they're good guys because they don't laugh at it, but they don't have the balls to call them out on it. Why? Because all men benefit from shitty men. Whether they admit it or not, they know it. As long as shitty men are raping and beating and murdering women, mid-men just have to not do that, and they look good. If it weren't for low standards, they'd have none at all. And if you're a man listening to this and nodding along, that's because you're a real one. You have people in your life you like, maybe men, maybe women, but you know, human beings who you don't want to see raped, murdered, sex trafficked. You get it, and you are not part of the problem. Welcome to the club. If you're a man and you're listening to this and you're thinking, I'm overreacting and you're one of the good ones and how dare I? Not all men, hashtag. Well, then you're not. Fix your shit because I'm too busy fixing other stuff. You do you. Literally. Fix you. Do it. That's your assignment for this week. So, that was a bit of a first episode. I just want you to know what you're getting into in the future. Why? Because this is all considered femicide, the murder of women because they are women. This stems from a genuine problem with our democracy. One half of the population violently hates the other half. When women hate men, we stay away from them. We hate them because they hit us and rape us and kill us, or they hit and rape and kill our children. Women hate men because of what they do to us. Men hate women for calling them out on what they do to us, for complaining about what they do to us, or for existing. And when men hate us, they don't stay away. They engage in as much harm as they possibly can. Until we address this misogyny and call it what it is, the hatred of women, without the, well, actually, or the, what about men, then we will continue to have these issues. Misogyny is a public health threat. It is an environmental health issue. it is a democracy issue. Until it becomes at least as disgusting for people to hate women as it would be for them to hate a golden retriever, we will continue to get nowhere. Next time, we'll look at the Korean 4B movement and talk about some mass resistance in the most amazing way to men's misogyny. That is, unless you want to give me superpowers, in which case, I'll handle it by then, and you'll never have to hear from me again. The Mother of Democracy is a Dr. Fun Sponge creation with writer Amber Veo and sound producer and real one, Matthew Munyon. Thanks for listening.